Welcome to Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess, I'm Anita Marks, and our guest today is offensive lineman Justin Pugh. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
This is your first go-around.
Yep, first time.
So let me explain it for you. This is a show for Big Blue Nation, your fans. Their opportunity to call into the show, the number 201-939-4513, so they get to call in and ask you anything they want.
Sounds good to
me. Is that cool?
Yep.
All right. Well, first and foremost, I get to ask some questions. This is your rookie season. How has it been for you?
It's been great. I mean, you know, getting thrown into the fire that first game when someone gets hurt, it's your chance to step up. And, you know, it didn't start out the way I wanted to, you know, losing the first few games there. And then finally we've gotten on a little bit of a roll. So it's been a lot of fun out there winning some games.
So talk about the learning curve, because typically you always hear the jump from college to the pros, the speed of the game is so fast. Is there a truth to that? I mean, how fast is the game compared to college?
Yeah, I think there definitely is. I think what makes the game so much faster is the guys have been in their systems for some guys 10 years, you know, so they really know those little intricacies, those little nuances in the scheme that helps them be successful. So I think it allows those guys to play at another level, at another speed, and that's what makes it so much faster. It's not necessarily the guys are that much faster than in college, if they know their system so well and they can play it at a high level.
So when you came in, obviously training camp, you were competing with David Deal for that position. Now he's playing right next to you, and you guys are pretty tight. Talk about that relationship and how it developed.
You know, when I first got here, he was like, hey, we're not competing. We're going out here to make this team better, and the best guy's going to play. And obviously, he's been around the league for a while. He's won the biggest game in the Super Bowl. So obviously, I wanted to learn everything from the way, you know, he practices to the way he prepares. And I think that's kind of how it started. And then playing next to each other, he was helping me communicate and kind of making sure I knew the little things in the offense to help me get better. And it's gone from there, and I think we're doing a good job. We just got to keep working and keep getting better.
All right, we're going to go out to our phone lines. Again, phone lines are open. We have Justin for two segments, so please get on board now. 201-939-4513, and we head out to Massachusetts. We have Chris. Chris, welcome to the show. What's your question for Justin?
Hello, Anita. Hey, Justin. How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing well.
Pretty good. Quick question, Justin, a couple questions. First question is, who's been the hardest guy that you've had to block so far in your young NFL career? And second is, if you guys win the rest of your games, win the rest of your games and finish 9-7, what would that mean to you guys?
So the first part, probably the best player I've gone against was Charles Johnson from the Carolina Panthers. He was a great player. This past week, going against Ryan Kerrigan, another good player, so it's probably my top two. And then winning out would be great. I mean, that would be obviously is the goal, but we got to start with this first week in San Diego and focus on that. But, you know, it's always great to end the season on a run and get this thing rolling. So that's probably the way I would feel. Definitely be excited to end that rookie season, you know, on a high note.
Who do you feel is the best defensive end in the NFL? The one guy that you're just like, man, he's the best, and I want to go up against him to see how good I am.
It's probably DeMarcus Ware, you know, a guy that you grew up watching. He's been in many Pro Bowls. He's always regarded as one of the top defensive ends. But being at right tackle, you don't get to go against guys like that every week. So, I mean, obviously you play against good guys, but those premier pass rushers, a lot of times they put them on the left tackle. So I'll have to ask Will Beatty about it.
Talk about the difference between a speed rusher and a power rusher, and based on your technique and how you play, what's easier for you?
I think that it's those guys that can create power with speed. You know, they get you moving upfield, get you off balance, and then use that power. I think that's something that it definitely helps defensive ends out a lot, and I think that's something that can give any tackle trouble. So I think those are the guys that can use both things to their advantage, the ones that are the great ones.
We're going to continue with our calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in on the show. Have a question for Justin Pugh. We go to Mackenzie. Mackenzie, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi, Mackenzie. What's your question for Justin?
Well, I don't know really what to ask him. What should I ask him?
Anything.
You can
anything
ask him
you want to know.
Anything you
want. What kind of music do you like?
What kind of music do I like? Well, right now I got the Blake Shelton CD on right now is what I'm listening to. That and Eminem. So a little bit of everything. I can do it all.
All right. let's talk about how well you guys have been doing in the rushing attack. 3 100-yard rushers in the last 7 weeks. What's been the biggest difference, besides the fact that Andre Brown is back? What's been the biggest difference with the offensive line later this season, as in earlier when you guys were struggling?
I think it's been consistency. I think earlier on in the season you're playing with a lot of revolving pieces in there, and then finally we're starting to get healthy. We lose some great players in Christie and David Boss. Obviously that hurts, and that's probably one of the reasons in the beginning while we were shuffling and trying to figure that out, who's going to be in there at the starting five. And now since that Chicago game, we've had the same guys in there. Obviously Jimmy going down hurts, but James Brewer, who played in the Dallas game and the Kansas City Chiefs game, was able to step up and play great. So I think it's kind of that mentality, the Giants offensive lineman. You got to be able to play multiple positions, and I think we've done a better job. We've got to keep getting better. Last week we didn't have 100 yards, so that's a goal this week.
We're going to continue with our calls. We have a regular calling.
Cool.
He's a big fan of the show, and I'm sure a big fan of yours. Kaiser, calling in from Yonkers. Kaiser, what's your question for Justin Pugh?
Yes, I am, Anita. You got that. I'm a very big fan of Justin. Justin, when you were at Syracuse, you played left tackle. So tell me about the transition to right tackle. Some people say that it's easier to go from left tackle to right tackle than from right tackle to left. What has been your transition, and how did you find it?
Your transition from left tackle to right tackle.
Okay, the transition from left to right tackle. I'm sorry, the earpiece was going on me. I think it's just a little bit different working on, like, the inside hand you're working on. Definitely using that, the set is different. So getting used to that. I think a lot of this stuff is just being able to use the fundamentals in a different way, because you're on that, everything's flipped. So your inside hand, where you want to protect the quarterback the quickest way, is now, your outside hand. So I think it's been a good transition for me, and getting help from guys like David Deal who have made that transition has made it a lot better for me. So hopefully that answers your question.
We're going to take a quick break. It'll be really quick. We'll continue with the calls, 201-939-4513, and we come back, we'll talk about the San Diego Chargers matchup.
Perfect.
All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody. Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go. Giants.
Welcome back. Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess, Anita Marks, and Justin Pugh, our very special guest. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Want to get in on the show, have a question, as the Giants get ready to take on the San Diego Chargers heading out west. So what does that affect you guys at all? I know West Coast players coming to the East Coast, I think, is a lot more difficult than East Coast going to West Coast.
Yeah, I think you have to make sure when that six-hour flight, Coach Coughlin was talking about how we have to make sure we get up during the flight, move around. You don't want to be sitting for six straight hours. Make sure you're drinking a lot of fluids because, having that long flight will definitely affect your hydration. So I think those are a few things. But, we get there, we get a good night's sleep early, and then, you go out and play. I think we'll be all right.
And head coach Tom Coughlin, he's a stickler for schedule. So he leaves on Saturday. You don't necessarily leave on Friday for a West Coast game.
Yeah, I know. In college, when I played out west, we had left the Thursday before the game.
Right.
We played on Saturdays. So we'll see how it works. I'm pretty sure he's done it before, and he's been in this business for a while. So it should work out fine for
us. He's got a pretty good track record, right?
Exactly.
All right, let's continue with the calls. We go to Brett in New Jersey. Brett, welcome. You're on with Justin Pugh. What's your question? Brett, you there?
Yeah.
What's your question for Justin?
My question is basically, big-time Giants fan, season tickets for about 10 years, diehard. My question is, I've watched all the games this year. You've had good games, you had bad games, but what do you think the main issue is in what's separating you from being a great team this year?
I think it's just eliminating those little mistakes, you know, having the turnovers, having the penalties at the wrong time. That's something that was hurting us when we lost those first six games, and we've cut them back, but you have to completely eliminate some of those things from the game for you to win all of them. And I think the games are so close in the NFL, that's the biggest reason what hurt us in the beginning and what we've kind of eliminated, and now we have to completely get it out of the games.
All right, I just want to give you some credit here. You've only had three penalties this season. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I have heard some slack on Twitter that I had a lot more penalties than I thought I had.
You've only had three.
I did have.
Right?
Yeah, I've had three, and one was an alignment error. So still, at the same time, when you have an Eli Manning run that goes for, I forget how many yards he had, and then I got the face mask, I felt bad that I took away. I think it was the longest run of his career.
Yeah, especially Eli Manning.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't run that often. All right, let's talk about the San Diego Chargers defense. They're a 3-4. Talk about the difference going up between a 3-4 and a 4-3.
You know, it's different personnel. It's a lot different body style in some of the guys you're going against. You know, the defensive ends are bigger, 300, 320 plus. The outside linebackers are more lean, rush the passer. So, you know, going in this past week, we just played one. So we're going to play another one. So it's good having them back-to-back weeks. So it's still fresh in your memory because the rules are different. Some of the assignment blocking is different. So it's definitely something that is good to have 2 weeks in a row.
And the Chargers, their defense, they're more of a finesse defense, not kind of like in-your-face, like Steeler defense. They're more of a finesse defense.
Yeah, but I mean, some people would say that. But watching their last game against Cincinnati, it was running the ball, smash mouth game, and they played very, very physical. So I think they can play both styles, and they're a very good defense. So it's definitely a challenge for us this weekend.
They don't have a big sack total. They're giving up 4.9 yards per carry, and they've allowed 10 rushing touchdowns so far this season. So you go up against a team, and you look at those type of stats, are you kind of licking your chops a little bit as an offense?
Definitely. I think going into every week, we want to establish the run. So I know, obviously, if those stats are that way for them, their coaches are in there getting them all worked up. So, you know, it's going to be a battle this weekend. I'm just excited to get out there and go play football on Sunday.
One guy who I'm really excited to see a part of this team is John Connor. What does he mean as a fullback and what he's been able to do? What does he mean to you guys in the offensive line?
He's like a sixth offensive lineman back there in the backfield. So he's a little bit faster so he can get up on some of those linebackers. And to see some of those blocks and him laying people out downfield and springing the running backs is definitely great to see. And it gets the running backs going. The running backs get us going. It's kind of, you know, we all work off each other.
All right, so eight offensive linemen went in the first round, you being, of course, one of them. You're going up against DJ Fluger. Well, obviously you're not going up against him. You both play offense, but are you kind of keeping an eye on the other offensive linemen that went in the first round this year?
Yeah, I think we've all kind of kept tabs on each other. And after, like, you know, we played the Chiefs, I actually didn't get to see Fisher because he had gotten hurt during our game, but seeing Lane Johnson in Philadelphia, DJ Fluker, me and him actually played in the Senior Bowl together. We were the first non-seniors to play in the game, so I got to meet him there. So I kind of been watching him and saw he actually went over to the left side. So, you know, definitely you cheer on it for other offensive linemen to do well, but obviously not this week.
Man, eight offensive linemen in the first round, more so than skilled position players. I mean, on offense, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely something that it's nice to see. I guess it was a good year to come out as offensive lineman. You know, once one starts going, then, you know, the ball gets rolling and they start flying off the board.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Really, it was a pleasure having you in studio. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving, and have a safe trip out west, and good luck against San Diego.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're going to make the switch. Switching offensive linemen today. How great's that? We'll bring in Roman Oben. We'll continue with your calls, 201-939-4513, talking everything Big Blue as they get ready to take on the San Diego Chargers. We'll be right back.
Another great day to be a Giant, baby. On a nice night like this, gotta get off.
Hey, let's do our job today, man. Let's get back on the winning track, man. We owe these boys.
Yes,
they beat us down here last year, man. It was a close game. It's gonna be a hard-fought game. We already know.
We're gonna play some ball out here on this Sunday night. You know what I'm talking about? Sunday night. Got my boys with me. Don't get no better than this. See my Giants fans out here. I can't even tell we in Washington.
This game is on us, man. If they don't get past us, they don't win.
Say it again.
Run game, pass game.
Yeah.
Let's play ball. Hey. Ain't nobody taking your eyes away from me. See ball, go get ball. See ball,
go get ball.
See ball,
go get ball.
Let's go. Give me on three. One, two, three.
D. Yeah.
Hand off Brown. He runs right. Brown to the 20. Brown to the 10. Brown to the 5. Brown to the goal line. Touchdown, Giants. Andre Brown on a 23-yard run off the right side. And the Giants are back in it.
Way to set it off, boys. Way to set it off, man. Play ball today.
Here on out, now, we got to make every series count now. Let's go. Let's go. Do our job. Do our job.
Two receivers left. Play fake. Manning throws to the post. Touchdown, Myers. He faked it to Hillis, and Myers on the post for the touchdown strike. His third touchdown catch of the season, and the Giants within an extra point of tying it with 35 seconds to go in the half.
All knotted up, baby. One more half. One more half.
From the Redskin 46, RG3 out of the gun, back to throw. He's under pressure, sacked by Justin Tuck, back at the 38-yard line.
Let's go, baby.
No fluke. They've been giving up about three or four the last couple of weeks. Why not keep it going? Let's go. Let's make it easy.
Brown, the tailback. Pasco in motion to the right. Hand off Brown. He runs right. He goes to the end zone, and Brown is... Did the official give the signal? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Giants.
There we go, baby. Let's go. Let's keep it up, baby. Let's go. Let's go, man.
Hey, I'm glad you got it, boss. I'm glad.
On the Washington 26, RG3, play fake, back to throw. He feels pressure. He's going to get sacked again.
Justin Tuck.
A Tuck with four sacks.
That's the way to play football, baby! Yeah. Yeah.
We still need a turnover.
Here we go. We
got to get
still need a turnover. It's still 21-17. We need a turnover. Let's go.
We got three. Get four. We got four.
What's better than four?
Five.
That makes this fourth and one from the Washington 46-yard line. RG3 out of the gun. 1:31 to go. Can they convert fourth down again? He drops back to pass. He throws it off on the right. He completes it on the right side. And the ball stolen by Will Hill. He took it out of the receiver's hands. He forces the turnover, and the Giants are going to win. He took it right out of the hands of Garcon. He robbed him.
Win back and forth, everybody contributing, special teams. We turn it over, defense holds them to a field goal. We bring it down and score. It's a hell of a football game and a great win for our team. We're battling, we fought. We know it's going to be a 60-minute battle. It was right to the very end. Congratulations to all of you. All right, let's have a team now. One, two, three.
Welcome back. Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess and Anita Marks, and we have made the switch from one offensive lineman to another. How great is Justin Pugh for a rookie? How great was he?
Well, considering, you know, he's going to be the first tackle to start, the first rookie to start his entire rookie year since Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he's, and obviously that's a different comparison, but he's improved every week, and he cares about the job, and that's what you really need as an offensive lineman. You need to care about the intricacies of what it takes to be a good offensive lineman.
And you guys share the same number.
Yes, yes. But it was me, then OC had it. I don't know if you ever heard of OC Miura, then Justin Pugh obviously had it. So it's been in some good company, number 72.
All right, so our Adorama News of the Day, this is a good one. Justin Tuck, NFC Defensive Player of the Week with four sacks. Count them, four. Man, what a game.
Hey, Justin Tuck's a gamer, whether it's Super Bowls or a national television televised game. But, you know, more importantly, he had been criticized a lot for his play, and he just wasn't getting to the quarterback. But, you know, Justin Tuck, you know, before this game, he led the defensive line in tackles. And a lot of people don't really look at those numbers. But this was a game where he was hot. He was rushing from the three technique. He was beating guys around the corner, which he's not known for a speed guy, but he was getting around with his speed and really second effort. So I'm really proud of what Justin Tuck accomplished.
All right, so practice-wise, let's fill you in. No McBride, no JPP, no T2, Terrell Thomas. But Brandon Jacobs was able to practice today, as well as Corey Webster. Interesting what's going on with Brandon Jacobs, because he's dealing with that knee issue. So it's like 1 week he's on, and 1 week he's off, and 1 week he's on, and 1 week he's off. But then the question comes, well, then, you know, who's not active? Is it going to be Michael Cox that hurts the special teams, or is it Peyton Hillis?
Well, you know what Brandon Jacobs brings to the table when he is healthy. I mean, he's a strong power back, 260 pounds. He doesn't have some of the explosion that he had earlier in his career, but Again, your short yardage runs, your goal line. Andre Brown even said it last week on the goal line. Hey, we're missing BJ, but I tried to do the best I could on the goal line. So the respect that Brandon Jacobs gets when he is healthy is always a plus for the Giants offensively.
All right, let's talk about the Giants' defense. They were dominant against the Washington Redskins. Alfred Morris, 11 carries for 26 yards. Alfred Morris.
Well, look, this is a staple that's worked for the Giants, this entire season. With what they've done, improve the defensive tackles, stuffing those two A gaps, the B gaps, which Adrian Peterson, whoever it was, the Giants have done a good job stuffing running backs. I mean, Morris, who one of the best backs in the league, really didn't get it going this week. RG3 had some yards, obviously, but it didn't really make a difference in the outcome of the game.
Some other stats for you. This Giants defense, they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher since week 3 against D'Angelo Williams, and they've only given up 5 rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs. So the fantasy football stats coming out right now. As you said, they really forced RG3 to become a runner. This defense has really been spectacular this year. It's amazing that their record is so poor, considering that the defense has been so strong.
Well, having a slow start plays a lot into that. I mean, had the Giants found themselves a way to beat Carolina or beat Kansas City, two of those first 6 games, they'd be in a better position now, obviously, but that's not the case. You get John Beason, 17 total tackles last week. You look at the defensive stats. I know you like the stats part of it. I mean, Antral Roll and Princeton Mukamara are the leading tacklers on the team. So this team is playing physical. They're shutting down these running backs. And now they're starting to get to the quarterback. So this is a formula that the defense definitely needs to do and improve this last quarter of the season.
All right, before we take a break, Jerron Hosley in for McBride. Thoughts on his play against the Washington
Redskins? It was great to see Hosley back. And he's definitely an integral part of that rotation in there. I think he had 4 tackles, but it was good to see him back. He's going to get better every week. He'll be an integral part of the last quarter of the season as well.
And, interesting, you go up against a Washington Redskins offense that RG3, a rushing attack, a very spread, explosive offense, to a much different offense this coming week in San Diego against
the Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Philip Rivers.
Yeah, well, Rivers has always been very talented. Obviously, I played in San Diego, and I played with a lot of guys that are still on the team. And Mike McCoy's brought that Denver system in where everybody's hot, everyone's open. It's not the traditional progressions. So you're going to see Woodhead get the ball. You're going to see Antonio Gates get the ball, whoever's open. So everyone's live. I mean, Rivers was always a talent, quick release. He's got that Dan Marino release, and he knows how to shred a defense. I mean, 70% of his passes completed. Again, he's getting rid of the ball quickly. Again, that Denver system where the quarterback doesn't get sacked. He'd gotten sacked a lot of times in the past. And, Woodhead, replaces that Darren Sproles aspect of his offense that was lost when he went to the New Orleans Saints.
In regard to Philip Rivers, I find it interesting. I think he's a guy that really doesn't get a lot of respect around the NFL because he hasn't won those big games. You haven't seen him in those crunch time situations in the playoffs. But he actually is a top 10, I'd say top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Phil Rivers was a Pro Bowler his rookie year. I mean, we were teammates. Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler his rookie year. You lose Sproles, you lose Michael Turner, you start losing all these guys. Offensive linemen get injured. He starts getting, and he's a different guy. And I think it was a point in his career where he started to try to do it all himself. He's back on track now. Both teams 5-7. It's going to be an interesting matchup on Sunday.
All right, quick break. We're back. We'll continue to talk about the Giants and Chargers matchup this coming Sunday, and we'll continue to take your calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Myself, Roman Oben, we'll be right back.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Welcome back, Big Blue Hits Live. Our last segment, your opportunity to get into the show, 201-939-4513. Before we do start breaking down the Chargers matchup, because it's Eli Manning going up against Philip Rivers, and we know when they both came out and the draft and the trade, you were actually a part of that. Why don't you kind of share with our viewers out there how you were a part of that whole ordeal?
Yeah, I was playing for the Chargers, for the Buccaneers at the time, and I was a part of that Eli Manning-Rivers trade. I think it was a fourth or fifth round pick. Maybe they threw in a bag of chips, I'm not sure, but I ended up going to San Diego in 2004, and then along with Keenan McCardell from Tampa.
Right.
And then that monster draft, that 04 draft. Chargers wanted Olsen Mignora too, but Giants wouldn't let him up. And then they took that extra draft pick, got Sean Merriman, who had a good first couple years in the league. So it was exciting. I mean, I spent as much time in the Chargers as I did the New York Giants organization, but I'm definitely a Giant for sure.
Interesting. We have some calls on board. Let's go to them. Kamar calling in from New Jersey. Kamar, welcome to the show. What's your question for Roman? Kamar, are you there? Okay. Let's talk about the Chargers. I know every season it's kind of like an ebb and flow to a season and teams, but it just seems like the Chargers are kind of on this roller coaster ride. Like, they look so great against Kansas City at Arrowhead, and then they did not play well against the Cincinnati Bengals this past week. Are you seeing that in the game film you're watching?
Well, one thing about this Chargers team, you know they're explosive offensively. I think defensively they've been really inconsistent. The fact that you lose to a good Cincinnati team at home shows that they don't really have an identity yet with what Mike McCoy is trying to really establish. They're more competitive, obviously. They're playing a lot better, but you've beaten some really good teams that are leading their divisions, but they've also lost to some teams that they probably shouldn't have lost to. I mean, look at these graphics. They've lost 4 out of 5, or 2-6 in games decided by 8 points. So they've lost some close games, and it's a +2, for the season. So, I mean, every game they played has really come down to the wire. Again, they could be easily 10-2 or 8-2, whatever, as they could be, 5-7.
You already talked about Danny Woodhead, which he's just been absolutely fantastic this season for the Chargers offense. Antonio Gates as well, but I'm really intrigued by this tight end. His name is Ladarius Green.
Mm-hmm.
Get this, Roman. He's 6'6", 238. He runs a 4.4. In the past 2 weeks, the San Diego Chargers have really unleashed him. How difficult do you think that is for a defense to go up against a tight end with that type of athletic freakness, we'll call it, and try to contain him?
Well, you see, it's a thing that's going around the league. I mean, Gronk and Jimmy Smith, or I'm sorry, in New Orleans, it's really about creating matchups, matchup problems for the other team. And I think
right.
Green is a guy that can create a mismatch if you're going against maybe a Will linebacker or even a safety. Being 6'6", he can catch some of those jump balls across the middle.
Let's continue with our calls. I believe Tamara is back. Tamara, what's your question for Roman?
Hello?
Hi, what's your question?
Hey, I had a question. I just want to know, what do you think are the Giants' likely chances of going to the playoffs?
Well, I think it's it's unlikely right now because they're behind Philadelphia and the Cowboys, but and the record in their division really proves that. I mean, look at, Giants are 5-7. I mean, look at the Cowboys, look at the Eagles' record. I think at this point, the Giants need to just try to win out. And if they end up going 9-7 and some freak thing happens and these other teams kind of start to fall at the end, you can't guarantee anything at this point. The Giants put themselves in a bad position by starting off 0-6 and losing those three divisional games. But there's always hope for some kind of tiebreaker. But I think the Giants right now are concerned, which is being the Chargers, coming back, and then getting ready for the rest of their stretch.
Last player I want to get your thoughts on is wide receiver Keenan Allen. I mean, he's been really spectacular in this Mike McCoy offense this season.
Yeah, Keenan Allen's been good. Eddie Royal, even when he's healthy, they have that dynamic that's always worked when, three options plus Woodhead in the backfield. So they could be very dangerous on Sunday.
Thoughts on the game?
Well, it's going to be a challenge. It's always hard to travel across the country, 6.5 hours flight. Should I win that game? But I think this game is going to be come down in the fourth quarter.
Roman Oven, Anita Marks, we thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. Paul Dottino will be hosting with Roman. I'll have your fantasy football update, getting ready for week 14 in the NFL. You guys have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Giants.com.